Test one. Yeah.
And we're live. All right, here we are. This is going to be a little bit of a time warp for you. If you've seen the recent Avengers movie, you know that everything's about the time. So today is Friday, but we're actually talking about Monday because that's when the show comes out. So today is Monday, the 13th of May, and this is episode 133 of the Scary Dad podcast. And we are coming at you right now live from the Comic Palooza floor. We are joined today by two friends. Introduce yourselves.
This is Andy Gonzalez.
And this is Jerry Jacob Schaefer.
And we will be talking today about it's the Attack of the Remakes. The It trailer just dropped for part two, and as everybody knows, that's a remake of a movie that came out in the 90s. Pet Sematary just recently came out. A lot of Stephen King stuff is getting rehashed.
Yeah.
And they're talking about a whole bunch of other stuff, so we're going to be discussing the good, the bad, and the kind of okay when it comes to that kind of stuff. So just because we are out of our element, we're not going to change formats. We are going to start by introducing Mr. Gomez.
Fast, the old business.
All right. On this date in 1787, 11 ships full of convicts set sail from England to establish a penal colony in Australia.
Lovely.
Also on this date in 1880, Thomas Edison demonstrates the electric railway.
Nice.
Which is... we don't use those too much. They were popular for a while, yeah. And then they went away, and now they're coming back.
Right.
Okay.
Nostalgia.
For everybody in podcast land who probably doesn't even listen to terrestrial radio anymore, on this date in 1939, the first commercial FM radio station went live.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
And it was very lonely, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was all by itself. Because most cars didn't even have an FM radio in it until like 70s.
Yeah.
All right. In 1995, Alison Hargraves, a 33-year-old British mother, was the first woman to conquer Everest without oxygen or Sherpas.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Wow.
All of the dead bodies on Everest, all the people who have tried to make it and failed for one reason or another, and then there's like three or four people who just kind of like woke up and threw on their running shoes and ran to the top and then went home. It's amazing that these... perseverance of some people.
She's one tough mother.
Yeah.
I'm always reminded when I hear about Everest about on the Jurassic Park, the Lost World quote, where they asked the guy who climbed up there, they said, you know, why did you go up there to die? He said, I didn't. I went up there to live.
There you go.
So yeah, a lot of those folks, man, that's their thing.
Oh yeah.
Not me.
You know, and there's like geniuses. When I say genius, I'm talking about not like in terms of mental acuity, but geniuses in terms of people with abilities, you know what I'm saying, who are able to sort of capture the moment and are, you know, for some reason, you know, whatever it may be, you know, feel that they can be a part of this grander situation and go for it. And there you have, you know, these crazy stories that were like, how in the hell? That's how.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. So we covered a guy on one of our episodes in the old business. There was a gentleman who heard about Everest. And he had climbed every mountain, and it was like back in the like early 1900s, rode his bicycle from London to Everest, climbed it, climbed down, rode his bicycle home.
Wow. Like, wow.
This guy was just...
funsies.
Insane.
Yeah. Like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
What are we going to do today?
You just imagine leaving the house.
Yeah.
It's like, come in here, I have to pack a backpack, I have to worry about my kids' extra shoes.
Right.
Like, how much are you going to carry with you on a bicycle?
Yeah.
You know? a stick? I don't know.
Yeah.
Golly.
Okay. And in more Scary Dad news, on this date in 2012, 49 dismembered bodies were discovered on the Mexican Federal Highway 40. They're having a lot of that. It's not good. Okay, a lot of birthdays today. This date in 1922, Golden Girl B. Arthur, happy birthday.
Wow.
1931, cult leader Jim Jones.
Boo.
this date in 1937, Beverly Owen. We actually had her in our obituaries not too long ago. She passed away a few weeks ago. She was the first Marilyn Munster.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yep. Right. Okay.
1939, Harvey Keitel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was that old.
I mean, neither.
Yeah, he's aged gracefully, yeah. You know? You know, I guess if you're made out of, like, you know, mummified parts and everything, yeah. You know, all you drink is whiskey all day.
Well, and then for a little bit of measure, I mean, he died when he was 17, but 1941, Richie Valens.
Yeah.
So, Harvey Keitel's older than Richie Valens.
Yeah. Actually, Harvey Keitel's as old as my mom.
Same here. Yeah.
Let's see, comic legend Marv Wolfman was born on this date in 1946.
Nice.
Stevie Wonder, 1950. And nice. In 1964, Stephen Colbert. And in notable deaths on this date in 2018, we lost Lois Lane, Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder, right. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but yeah. Just ways, crazy. Way that these things work.
You know, and I've always connected Margot Kidder and Princess Leia.
Carrie Fisher,
those two characters together in my head. You know, they've always, not that they necessarily look alike, but they always have the same sort of provenance, you know.
Uh-huh.
And to have both of them, you know, gone, it's like a very strange sort of emptiness, you know, for the community.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they both made themselves a household name in the late 70s.
Absolutely.
With Princess Leia and with Lois Lane. So.
Yeah, and note, there are certain characters. Like, there will never be another Princess Leia.
No.
Yeah,
never. And there will never be, I mean, they've had other Lois Lanes. There's been a lot of Lois Lanes, but hers is iconic.
There's only one Lois Lane. Everyone else is acting like Lois Lane. She was Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And that is it for the old business. We'll take a break and be right back.
I think you're making a mistake. I think you really want to talk to me.
Sorry, I have 3 other interviews to do before this party's over.
Yeah, but they're not working on something that'll change the world as we know it.
They say they are.
Yeah, but they're lying.
There is a limit, even to the imagination.
Human teleportation, molecular decimation, breakdown, and reformation is inherently purging.
Where our greatest creations meet our deepest fears.
Something went wrong, Seth. When you went through, something went wrong.
You are about to go beyond that limit.
Those weird hairs that were growing out of your back, I had them analyzed. But they were definitely not human.
If you saw how scared and angry and desperate he is...
I'm sure Typhoid Mary was a very nice person, too, when you saw her socially.
No!
You're afraid to be destroyed and recreated, aren't you?
You're changing, Seth. Everything about you is changing.
Oh, no. What's happening to me? Am I dying?
I want to know what's going on.
What does the disease want?
It wants to turn me into something else.
Oh, no.
A fly got into the transmitter pod with me that first time when I was alone.
Don't go back to it.
It could be contagious.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Help me. Please, help me. New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. The new business is more related to the show than normal because we are talking about some coming soon type stuff and stuff coming up. Some of this stuff we've covered before, but just we're going to just kind of go around and say whether or not you are excited about or care about these upcoming reboots and remakes.
We get to play Siskel and Ebert.
So some of them have already come out, but so if you've seen them, you liked them, make your comment, but this is the new business segment.
Cool.
So, have you seen the new Suspiria?
No.
No, I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I'm not too keen on it myself. Argento is kind of, you don't touch it.
No, right. Yeah.
It's kind of like Mona Lisa. Sure, you can kind of like sketch it, but you're never going to get that same.
Yeah.
It's a time and a place, you know what I'm saying?
Pet Cemetery.
Saw it.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it. I liked how they twisted it up a little bit. It wasn't an exact remake, so that's... some things are a little updated, obviously. But for a horror film, I liked it. For a remake, the original still stands.
Yeah, that original was... Like, absolutely, when I saw it, however old I was like nightmarish and horrible. And so it was one of my favorites, you know, because of the fact that it was so how it penetrated, you know, the inside of who you are and stayed with you, you know what I'm saying? Little Gage and, you know, Herman Munster getting his, you know, the back of his heel chewed off and, you know, the cat, I mean, Jesus, you know, the whole nine.
Well, like, and we've, Scott and I've talked about this one on the show quite a bit because he's a big fan of Pet Cemetery. I can't deal with it. I read that book when I was 14. Mm-hmm. So at 14 years old, I knew exactly what it felt like to lose a child.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a dad with two young children, I can't.
That's tough.
I can't deal. I watched the original one when it came out because I was a little bit more nihilistic when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
It's home. It rang too hard of the book. And whenever they reannounced this one, I was like, you're going to have to just see it and
tell you about it.
Well,
and here's the thing. When Fred Wynn runs for the road, you know, for Gage, oh my God, that was like just a horror.
It's,
you know what I'm saying?
By itself.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that you could feel the pain, and mixed in with, you know, the you know, superhuman aspects, it's the preternatural aspects of everything
that
else.
That was the true horror.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Truly.
Yeah.
I think they cut us on.
Yeah, they finally we got it turned up. We're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and these are, okay, let's see, what else is out? Let's see, and Hellboy, have you seen the remake of Hellboy yet?
You know what, I'm actually going to see it, because it's still in theaters, like one or two showings a day early this week, but that one just slipped by me. I did really want to see it, but I mean, come on, Ron Perlman, he is Hellboy.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not as if the originals were dated in any way, CGI, or anything.
Right.
That, the Guillermo del Toro's...
The Hellboy 2.
All of his visuals are... Like, he takes whatever budget, and he squeezes perfection out of it.
Everything he does is amazing. Absolutely everything. You know, if he had $10 in, you know, a little camera that he bought on the road somewhere, you know, he could make some amazing stuff.
I'm certain he would. So then these are the ones that are coming out that haven't hit yet. The remake in The Craft.
Not too excited about that one.
That's another one that kind of encapsulated place and time, kind of like Scream.
Peruza Balk.
It perfectly grabbed teenage angst in the 90s.
Peruza Balk, as you were saying, was just utterly amazing in it.
Yeah.
And she was absolutely horrifying, too. You know what I'm saying? The looks in her face, I mean, you can't match that. There's no one who can copy that, ever.
I mean, she was already horrifying when she was little in Return to Oz.
Oh, yeah.
That was on accident.
Right. Or also, when she was in Valmont, when she was like 11 or 12 or whatever, she still had, you know... You could tell that she was going to be able to do something more than just be like a little, you know, dainty thing. You know, she had a hardness to her that, you know, definitely translated to everything else she did.
I haven't seen the preview, but I wonder if she's going to do any kind of cameo or...
It's in production now, I don't think it's preview. These are just upcoming stuff you know, kind of on the watch list and stuff. They're remaking Jacob's Ladder.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that one I'm actually interested.
I don't, again, that movie was such a...
It's a high watermark.
It's a strange film.
Twist.
Yeah,
it's a very strange movie that it's not something that I really think warrants a remake.
Right.
What are you going to try to do? Explain it further?
Right.
I mean, the thing is that it delves into, you know, all of the mythology in such a beautiful way, and really speaks to the nature of, you know, the horror that exists in every individual's heart. You know, at life and death, and the, you know, the mere existence of our you know, who we are in this world, that. I don't know how you could do that. I really don't.
No, and Tim Robbins is top notch.
Oh yeah,
you can't.
No.
You can't. Like, that's one of those that I just. I keep thinking of the old In Living Color, where they're like, hated it. Like, I haven't even seen it yet, but just the idea, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
All right, Child's Play. I think this one has gotten kicked around quite a bit. They brought in Mark Hamill to voice the doll, which I'm curious about because I think the movie is already pretty much made, and they brought him afterwards.
Yeah.
Like in post-production.
Yeah.
Kind of like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
With James Earl Jones, so I don't know.
Well, I think they were getting kind of feedback, and so say, who can we bring in that might make this a little better?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm not going to have any high expectations, but
It Part 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I really did. It was a roller coaster of, I mean, we did a show on it. It was just, it was a roller coaster. Like, it was never so frightening that you felt like lost in it. Like,
right.
But it was the roller coaster of fear, where it's like up and down, up and down, up and down, and so many different ways to be scared that it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't realize, because I'd read the book so long ago, is that they totally sort of wasted Beverly's character. In that she was the one who banished Pennywise at the end of the first section of the book.
Right.
She was the crack shot.
Yeah.
And so to have her be like captured and have to need to be saved, like, that's a little retro for this day and age. But
the damsel.
But
in distress.
that was afterward criticism, because I know they changed different characters, like with Mike and Ben, because Mike was the historian and Ben was not.
Yeah.
Ben was the poet and the artist. And,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff. But
no offense to Tim Curry and his portrayal of Pennywise. He will always be, you know, the Pennywise. But Skarsgård has done a really good job in creeping us out.
Absolutely.
Kudos to him.
And the thing is it all lies in his eyes, you know what I'm saying? There's like an insanity that he has in his eyes that it's hard to quantify. Like Jake Gyllenhaal, whatever you may say about him, he has an insanity in his eyes as well. That's just, when you see him, you're like, okay, this dude could literally hurt someone and do crazy stuff. I'm just saying.
Alright, let's see. I want to see the King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, yes. Absolutely!
I mean, the Godzilla movie that's coming out. The previews look awesome.
Yes.
But there's some stills from King Kong versus the Godzilla that I'm like, that's one that's needed to be updated for a while.
With
what they can do with CGI and everything, like,
you know, and not trash, like, you know, the other thing that they did. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of that other King Kong. It was just kind of like, it seemed
Peter
like
Jackson's.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of seemed to be kind of like in between air flights or something, you know what I'm saying? Kind of, they kind of dialed it in as opposed to, you know, really putting some more force into it.
It was a long movie too.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I saw that in Spanish in Cancun.
Okay.
Oh, really?
We were in Playa. Like, I never saw it in the theater or whatever. It just passed by me. It was always long and just, a couple years ago, my wife and I were in Playa. And the last night we were there, she wasn't feeling real well. So she's like, I just want to stay at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I went for a walk and I came back and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm watching King Kong in Spanish. And funny thing was, sat there and watched the whole movie. I was not lost for, I don't speak Spanish, but I was not lost for a second as to what was going on.
Yeah.
It's just the same movie.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it is a love story. Yeah. King Kong, it is really a love story between, you know,
big giant ape
and woman.
And that's what I really like about this Godzilla, is that it's about the monsters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it really focuses on that sort of aspect. That thing that lies in the back of all of our spines, that tingly feeling that something around the corner, something bigger than ourselves, something beyond our control and our power, you know, that could totally, you know, devastate us, but leaves us in awe. And I think that they're really capturing that this time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or that's what it looks like, at least. I hope so.
Yeah, it looks really good. They showed an extended trailer the other day, and my daughter was standing behind me. She's like, who is that? She's talking about the three.
Rodan? Yeah, Rodan, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, who's he? I was like, you just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
All
right. Don't know if I'm... Candyman is another one of those that...
Oh, man.
It's kind of untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Tony Todd, man. I mean, that guy is, you know... If he's a Candyman, dude. I mean, I he's gonna come to my mirror if I do it. I mean, it's just gonna happen, you know.
And that movie was terrifying.
Yeah,
I mean, it was.
That was one of those that, like, kind of like with The Ring, where it's like, oh well, you know, I'm trying to help you get past your you know, the way that you died and all this stuff, and trying to bring you peace and let you go. And he's like, I got a big ass hook for you. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I like this. This is fun. This is me. This is what I'm doing for the eternity.
Okay, one I am looking much forward to is the Addams Family. Looks amazing.
Yeah, it does look really good.
And I love the fact that they went animated with it.
Yes.
So they can do so much more.
Yes.
But the Addams Family movies, I know some of, like the second one specifically, was critically panned, but I love that.
Yeah.
I love them all.
It's such a great, like, I always wanted to live in the Addams Family house.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when I was a kid, the Munsters and the Addams Family were on, you know, like mm-hmm. basic cable all the time.
I wanted a dragon under my stairs.
Yeah. And, but, you know, and I love, and it was later that I grew up and just, like, realized, you know, when you have the combination of, like, stuff like Tool Time, Home Improvement, and you've got Dopey Dad, and the diminishment of fatherhood, and everybody's stupid, and then you watch the Addams Family, and you're like, okay, so they're weird, but they're in love.
Yeah.
They're involved with their children.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
100%, like, they're involved, they're worried.
Right.
When they start taking on strange hobbies, they talk to each other, like, this isn't right.
Right.
And it's
and
done for comedic effect, but they're smart.
Right.
And so, like, as far as, like, the perfect couple on TV, Gomez and Morticia.
And I like them way better than any of the other ones, because everyone else was, you know, fake and, you know, like you know, June and Ward, you know, I mean, you know, they're fine or whatever, but, I mean, I could always tell that, okay, I know that what they talk about in the bedroom isn't what happens out here in the real world.
Yeah.
But with Morticia and with Gomez, it's, you know, who they are is who they were. In the bedroom, outside of the bedroom, wherever you may be, they were always, you know, those people. And I was always, like, you know, authentic. It felt authentic.
Yeah.
And they were affectionate for real.
Yeah.
You could tell the actors liked each other.
Oh, absolutely.
They had real chemistry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the movies were wonderful. Really enjoyed the movies.
Yeah.
They did a great job with the movies.
They did.
Both of them.
Raul, Julia,
oh,
Angelica
my God,
Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were, they were perfect characters, or actors to cast for those characters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, you know?
And to see this, you know, to go back to the old, to the drawings, the cartoons, is really cool.
Who was the artist who did that?
Charles Addams.
Okay.
Yeah, he started doing cartoons for the New Yorker.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
It just kind of took on a life of its own. They're remaking Clue.
Okay.
Hmm.
Tim Curry's got to be sitting there being like, "What the hell?"
You're doing everything I did, destroying my canon.
So, not so hot on that. Because, I mean, I don't even think Clue's even relevant anymore. Nobody plays Clue.
Right. Yeah.
And then you got Masters of the Universe, which...
Well, it can only go up.
Yeah, I mean, God, I remember seeing that in the theater, because I was a big He-Man fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, why?
Well, who, like, what is
this? Even as a young child, I was like, you don't need all of this stuff.
No.
You know,
like,
you need Conan's more He-Man than He-Man was.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. I will say this, though.
Even the snake guy in Conan.
Yeah.
He's more
He-Man.
Skeletor than Skeletor was, you know?
I mean, I'll be honest. You know, of course, it was trash. It was. But going back and watching it again, a little older, it's actually kind of, like, I mean, you know, taking away anything seriousness, any sort of hard connection or whatever, it's kind of funny and ridiculous, and I'm just like, this is absolute trash, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of entertaining trash. Like, whenever they're eating the chicken or whatever, and they're like, oh, what is this? This is, you know, this is an animal from our planet. Like, oh, we don't want that.
Yeah.
I thought that was you.
Yeah.
There was a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but come to find out, it was supposed to be better, but they ran out of money. They spent all of their money on that invasion scene where they were coming through the portal, and, like...
Explains a lot, then.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that first Justice League where they spent $1.37 to make it, you know?
The mustache.
Well, that's what's coming up, so that's new business. We're going to take a break, hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Awesome.
Halloween night. A small American town. 15 years ago. Michael?
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil. I think he'll come back.
Exploring uncharted territory.
Been totally charted.
Just
talk. Sure, sure.
The only reason she babysits is to have
a... Halloween.
Come on out.
Amount of time, so we're gonna do the best, the worst, and the okay. So I wrote down my list of my favorites, my least favorites, and the ones that I thought were all right.
We're talking about horror remakes.
Horror,
right?
Yeah, the remakes. Because some of them are so much better than the originals that they've taken on their own
life.
Yeah, they're just perfect, you know, mm-hmm. for what they are. Mm-hmm. Others were pretty good facsimiles, and then others were wretched, and why did you even bother?
Right.
So, we're going to just kind of jump around from some of the best to some of the worst, and kind of back and forth. Cool. We'll just run a list. And if you disagree with me, that's all the better. Makes for fun engagement. So, I didn't follow a lot of the Japanese wave of horror when it came out. I was doing other things and just didn't catch a lot of them. So, like The Ring and The Grudge and everything. So, I didn't see them when they first came out. I saw him later. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves The Grudge. I don't really. But calling it a remake too, because they were made so close together, mm-hmm. is kind of like let me in and let the right one in.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a foreign language movie that got an American remake.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare the two.
Yeah.
But of that bunch, I thought The Ring was awesome. The Ring was truly scary.
Yeah.
Kind of like we were talking about with Candyman.
Yeah.
She spends the whole movie trying to find the ghost and find out how to free her, and in the end, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Gives a crap.
And I love that kind of fatalistic horror where it's like the monster doesn't care.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even in like The Predator, where he's like, okay, you beat me, but I'm still going to blow your ass up. I'm still killing you.
Right.
Like, you're still
right.
God.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I saw Ringu, and then I saw The Ring also, and the original and this one. And yeah, I did. The Ring really was creepy as hell. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that the slowness of the progression, the angularness of the shoulders, the, you know, all those things that really creep you out. Like, for instance, in, I think it was Exorcist 3, whenever the grandmother thing's on the roof or whatever, and she's walking, and it's just like, you know, it's...
Spider-like.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's a human being or human-like creature, and so it hits the uncanny, you know what I'm saying? That piece of us is just like, oh... I recognize this, but it's completely and totally foreign and alien.
Yeah.
Okay, this is absolutely horrible.
Well, too, a lot of people took that and kind of overused it in future movies.
I agree.
There's a lot of that jerk. Strange camera movement that wasn't there before The Ring.
Yeah.
So now you see it in a movie, you're like, They like The Ring a lot.
Yeah.
I noticed that on, I think it was The House on Haunted Hill. They'd use some of that stuff with some of the scenes that they were,
right.
You could see in the security camera and the way he was just moving. And it's really cool. It really is a good effect. But yeah, like you said, it was kind of overused in the early 2000s.
Like The Matrix, you know, everyone has started doing, you know, those shots where it's a slow motion kind of a thing. You know,
yeah.
it's a trope that's gone into the canon and that people can choose from. And
yeah.
Sometimes they choose it a lot.
Yeah. Dawn of the Dead remake from 2004. I know this is sacrilegious, but I actually find it scarier than the original. I think it's a superior film. That movie is probably the first modern horror movie that actually made me stay up at night thinking about how would you get away?
Mm-hmm.
Like what would you do? Like they made their bus.
Right.
You know, they armed up. They had they had a plan. As with all zombie movies, it was a mistake that caused them to mess it up.
Right.
But what would you do? Like,
was that the Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good modern update, though. You know what I'm saying? It was a good, you know, interspersed into where the culture was at the time, and it made a lot of tendril connections, you know what I'm saying? So I can see why you would think it was, feel it was better. I don't necessarily disagree with you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first one, the original one is good. seeing them kind of next to each other,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The horror aspect of it, like the political commentary is in all Romero's movies, that's relevant,
mm-hmm.
But to see the actual, like, the hits, you know, mm-hmm. The bites, the tears, they're everywhere, they're not going away, you're not getting away,
right?
The claustrophobia, even though you have this giant complex that you're living in.
Well, see, and that's the thing, to be able to take an agoraphobic space and turn it into a crawl space in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the genius of the director. That's the genius of the film, the setup, the construction of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was excellent. I only saw this one recently, but the remake of Hills Have Eyes. That was a really good...
It's
almost scene-for-scene remake. So, I mean, it was...
Well, it was pretty good.
You know, people get mad at certain times, but if it's... You know, I think of Jack Black, where he's like, "This isn't a song. This is a tribute."
You know?
And Hills Have Eyes was very much that. It was very serviceful, good and scary. Takes where the original left off, and
Well, you know, when you update something, as long as you honor it, really honor it, you know, people shouldn't have an issue with it. Other than, you know, I mean, if you got a purist here and there, whatever, that's fine. I gotcha. You know, I understand. But at the same time, though, you know. You said tribute.
Yeah.
So a tribute is a tribute is a tribute.
I'm one of the few people that really liked the Friday the 13th reboot in 2009.
Okay.
And a lot of the criticism I read that people didn't like it was like, this is just rehashed. It's the same trope. Like, they didn't break new ground. And my thought was, what do you want from a Friday the 13th movie?
Right.
Okay.
There's only so much you can do.
Right.
The first four of them are literally the same story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the best of the series.
Yeah.
You know, after they kept having to come up with ways to revitalize him and bring him back and stuff, that, you know, and... They're all fun. They're campy. They're ridiculous.
Yeah,
they got their stuff.
He went to hell. He went to New York.
Yeah.
He went to space.
Literally, is he going to become, you know, the head of a corporation now? Is he going to, you know, going to be a skateboarder? You know.
Yeah.
It's once again, you can't really, you can't really do a whole lot with that other than make it a quality chase movie where you have surprises and shocks and blood and guts and things that like that to make it, you know, appropriate.
Yeah.
And after you do it four times, literally, then you have to go to space because there's nowhere else to go.
Right. And that was the thing, was it was a good in the woods, Jason's killing teenagers movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him to break new ground. I didn't want the backstory like Halloween did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these are things that was unnecessary to me. So I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Next, we've got 13 Ghosts, which is, I didn't really like it when it came out, but it has
it's grown on you.
It's grown on me quite a bit.
I loved it. I loved it.
And I don't think I didn't. It wasn't one of those things that I didn't like it. It's that I saw it. And I wasn't super impressed. It didn't, like, scare me much. It was cool.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, ooh. But it's done well over time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a chair for you, babe. You want to go sit in the audience?
There's a chair right here.
Oh. You can come sit on this side. That's what happens when you're live. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of something.
So, Scary Dad is going to be having the Scary Dad show here pretty soon.
Yes.
So while we have some no dead air, we can talk about that.
We'll talk about that at the end, right before we get off the air.
Cool.
I was just informed that somebody's hungry.
Is it a zombie? Do you have some flesh for them?
She gets that way if she doesn't get fed. All right, 1988, The Blob.
I liked it.
That was a good...
Yeah,
that was
really
awesome.
Liked it. Yeah. Tremendous movie.
Once again, what can you do with a giant gelatinous blob that eats people?
Yeah.
You make a giant gelatinous blob that eats people, and you make it gorier than the original.
Absolutely. Just update graphics.
Yeah.
And you have that guy get pulled down in his garbage disposal. That stuck in my head forever.
Yeah. Well, that was a tremendous remake.
Okay, we just recently did a Fresh Eyes on the Fly. I watched The Fly way too much when I was a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we talked about how in the 80s between like The Fly and RoboCop, but there was just like this trend of melting things.
Yeah, yeah.
Melting people and toxic waste.
So
and
toxic
acid.
Waste or regurgitation.
Right. Right. Or even Toxic Avenger in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, dude, okay. The Fly. The apartment complex that I lived in had a place where you could go and rent movies in the little office or whatever.
Yeah.
I rented The Fly for 2 months straight. Okay? And I kept it. They didn't say, you know, they'll call you whenever you need to turn it back in, but they never called. And so I watched it like every day. And, you know, for a time I had everything memorized on that movie. And I was just like, it was such a integral part of who I was at the time that when I finally returned it, I was like, man, I should have just stolen this crap. You know what I'm saying?
Just take it home.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember, like, watching things that you haven't seen in a long time, like, I watched a lot when I was a kid. That and RoboCop were kind of around the same time-ish.
Not of the comic for me, too, in that regard.
But watching it again after not seeing it for probably 10 or 15 years, I was shocked at how gory it was. Really, really gory. I'm sort of being like, man,
like when his face is falling off of him and, like, you know, like, he pulls out, I guess, his genitalia or whatever. I mean, it's just, like, it looks like horror. Like real, like that body horror that you can't escape from. You know what I'm saying?
It's scary to think that somebody's actually going through this and, you know, put yourself in their shoes. Like, your body is falling apart.
Yeah.
Your teeth are coming out.
And the way they come out is so beautiful and awful at the same time.
Well,
you know?
I also think, too, because... The Cure song Lullaby, where he has the lyrics where he says, I feel like I'm being eaten by a thousand million shivering furry holes.
Right.
Yeah.
And every time I think of that, I think of the hairs coming out on him in The Fly.
Right.
The wiry hairs.
Oh, yeah, they were like, horrible looking. Yeah.
It's like, and what would that feel like?
Yeah.
It's it hurt? Does it tickle? Like, what? Ugh.
And the thing is just that, you know, to peel the skin off, you know, and probably have some sort of sensation from that, but not, you know, like a numb sensation, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, and then have your real skin underneath with the hair sticking out of it. I mean, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
I will have to say that the whole Brundle Fly with his, you know, lumpy, horrible face is all, like, you know, just looking at you, I'm just like, God, that's something that I was just looking at that the other day, in a meme or something, and I was just like, man, this is a nightmare face that will never leave me.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it's bad. So good.
Absolutely.
And let's see, then the invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you might have heard it on the show or whatever, but when I was about 14, my dad went to the video store and he came home with a big old stack of movies. And he's like, there's a whole bunch of old movies. And he's like, this is stuff you need to watch. So stuff like Cool Hand Luke and High Noon and Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
classics.
Like these old original classics.
Yeah.
And then I found out that there was a modern remake of Invasion of Body Snatchers, and it's almost scene for scene.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the dread is almost a little more amplified because of the city's bigger.
Yeah.
There's more people.
Right.
And there's more processing.
Like, right.
It's more of a mechanical sort of process that they're really got the the pods
right
mechanized.
The way that they open up and stuff, and the movement, you know, it was very realistic, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the other one was in the 50s when they made it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you always have to, you know, I mean, you take your modern sensibility away to watch a movie from that time, from that era, so that way you can enjoy it or whatever.
Yeah.
But whenever they do modernize it and make it something, you know, much, you know, grander in terms of the effect, then, you know, that really adds a lot to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And probably the best remake of any movie ever is going to be The Thing from 1982.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was another one that we did fresh eyes on, that no matter how many times I see it, I could watch the movie, stop the movie, rewind the movie, watch it again. The autopsy scene makes me jump every time.
Yeah.
Every time. I know it's coming. And every time. Kurt Russell, perfection. His character, like, what is he's a pilot or a mechanic or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's not he's a roughneck.
He's
not an action star.
Right.
But he takes over.
Right.
Like, he's under control. But one of the things that I noticed different from watching it recently, that I don't think I ever noticed before, and we discussed it on the show, was that whole opening sequence where the pilot is firing, or the guy shooting at the dog.
Right.
I think he hit that dog a lot. I don't think he missed.
Right.
And that made it even more horrific, because I was like, okay, sure, he's in a helicopter,
right,
and he's shooting at a moving target, and yeah, that's hard to do, but you don't shoot that many times and miss,
right,
and not hit something somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, what if the dog's just absorbing those bullets and just moving on? Like, okay, that's... because if you know what it is at the beginning, you're like, oh.
Well, to quote a Houston man, it creates this sort of delicate terror. You know what I'm saying? This uncanniness of like, you know, once again, something in the nominal, something that you understand, something you can comprehend, but being beyond your control, utterly beyond your control, even though it looks like an everyday object or everyday, you know, a thing. And so, from that perspective,
anything,
absolutely anything could be against you.
You know, going back to the scene that you say you like the most, the autopsy, Wilford Brimley wasn't even known as a horror, you know, actor, and everybody knows him as the diabetes guy, but his facial expressions and his grunts at the smell, he sold it.
Yeah.
He sold it, him snapping apart pieces, you know, cutting it over, it's like, oh,
yeah,
oh, it's like you smell it, you feel it, you see it, and I mean, he really sold that part.
Well,
that's one of my favorite scenes.
Well, the thing is it harkens back to the time that you went fishing and you put the shrimp inside of the Coleman cooler and you left it in the garage for
and you open that cooler outside
and if it can make the outside smell bad, I mean the whole outside, then that's what you're smelling whenever he goes, ugh, you know? That's a real story, by the way.
So we are almost out of time, so we're going to blast through the okay ones. I wasn't a huge fan of the Halloween and Halloween 2, mostly because of the backstory. But once you got past the backstory and it became more of a Halloween...
Not Rob Zombies.
No, the Rob Zombies.
Rob Zombies, okay.
Yeah, I liked Halloween 2018, but that's not a remake. That's a sequel.
Yeah, right.
But Halloween and H2, I watched them once.
Yeah.
They were all right.
Yeah,
I don't hate on them, but they're not my favorite.
Right.
The Haunting... which was a remake of The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
It was all right. It had its moments.
Catherine Zeta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amityville Horror, it was pretty much scene by scene reshoot. It was just kind of unnecessary. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
Deadpool's a daddy?
Yeah. And then the Robert De Niro Frankenstein from the 90s.
Yeah.
Again, it was all right. It was a little overwrought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Not wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay. It was, you know... I mean, it had its moments, but once again, you know, as you said, this is the okay category, you know?
And then the ones that they shouldn't have made, most of these I haven't even seen, except for The Thing, which...
Yeah.
Kind of gets a pass because it's technically a prequel, but it's still just the same damn movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's... I mean, I'm a little more forgiving on the CGI monster, because you can't... They don't do practical effects like that anymore.
Right.
But it's still not as scary as the practical monster.
Agreed.
We talked about it, the difference between CGI and practical is when there is a monster in the room with you for you to react to,
yeah,
even if it's rubber,
yeah,
you can look at it and be, and yeah, it, there's something in the space
and
that fills the space.
With
the CGI,
right,
it's a little less believable. You're like,
yeah,
oh, it's green screen.
Well, something being physically there creates a human connection, emotion that you can't get from, you know, invisible space or, you know, a dude running around in a unitard, you know,
yeah,
green unitard.
So let's see. I didn't see The Hitcher.
No.
I didn't watch the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man. Wicker Man is perfect. You can't read it. Once you've seen the Wicker Man, there's no, you can't, you know what's going to happen, so there's no secret.
There's no desire to watch anything else.
No.
You know?
And The Wicker Man itself was so perfect just because there was nothing scary about it except for how normal these people were.
Yeah.
And so you try to put a manic Nicolas Cage in there, it's like, no.
He just needed the money, man. You know,
yeah,
you got to pay his taxes.
The Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, they took all the humor out of it.
Yeah.
And there was CGI blood. That's unforgivable.
Yeah.
And then Poltergeist. I didn't see that.
You didn't see it?
No.
I saw it, and I liked it. It was entertaining, but I mean, you can't replace, you know, the actors and the music that was in the original.
Right.
They used a little bit of the original score, I believe, if I recall correctly. But yeah, it was not bad. I personally would put it in the okay section.
For me, Poltergeist was another one of those that I watched a lot when
yeah,
I was a kid.
The
clown,
the
closet.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were just a family.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure they were in the reboot too, but they seemed real.
Right.
They seemed like normal folks.
I like the thing with the cable when he was going back and forth correcting Nelson with the other people in the other house or whatever. That's like that stuff that you know, any family would do. My family would do. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying? Like, oh well, let's see what this would do,
click,
you know.
Click.
Yeah.
Click.
Which, by the way, have you seen Incredibles 2?
No.
No.
Okay. There's a bunch of Easter eggs in Incredibles 2. Like, for example, because Pixar, Disney, the Avengers, everything.
Right.
So they, whenever they get relocated for her new job, they're in Tony Stark's place.
Yeah. Awesome.
It doesn't say that it's him, but
yeah,
you can tell because it's a rendering of his the place that got destroyed in Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
gotcha.
overseeing the ocean.
Yeah,
the glass.
Okay, yeah.
There's all of this really cool stuff, but they. Jack starts having his powers start,
right,
and one of his powers is that he can morph into alternate dimensions. And so, whenever he gets mad, he morphs. He disappears. And so, mom's gone, and dad's trying to take care of the kids, and he morphs into the dimension. And he's walking around the kitchen with a cookie, like trying to draw him out of the realm.
And
it's Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
And he falls out of the hole in the
just
ceiling
like
into his arms.
Uh-huh.
And it's like his perfect,
his
perfect Easter egg to Poltergeist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody noticed it. In fact, I saw it and I looked it up online and I was like, Incredibles 2 Easter eggs. That wasn't there. I was like, fuckers forgot this. But hey, man, we are nearing the end of our time. We have got to go. So, we're going to do a shout out to ourselves. We've got our Monster Con that we do. Not literally, we're not stealing that name. It's Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show. We will be in year 3. It's on September 28th and 29th, 2019, at the Crown Plaza Galleria. It's not the Crown Plaza on 290 like it was last year. This one's completely built. So if you're interested in coming to that, stay tuned. We will be coming up with all of our advertising here pretty soon. If you're interested in vending, get in touch with me. Everything's on the website at scarydad.com. Look along the top ribbon and click on it. And we will see you guys in September. And that is really it for today. I already got my comic signed. Got here early enough, so I got to go upstairs and do a quick panel. Then we're going to wander around and shop and try to find ways to spend money.
Yep.
And thank you guys for joining us
today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we will see you next time. Keep it scary.
All right.